Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. Joining me in the studio, fresh back from the Holy Land. Well, not so fresh, but...
yeah, not so fresh.
I think the last time we actually were together, outside of your Sunday preaching a week or so ago, was taking communion in the Garden Tomb.
Yeah.
I think that was one of our last experiences.
Or walking past you on the plane.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, no water spilled on you this time, right?
No water spilled.
Oh, well, it's been a filled week, making lots of advancement here at the Great News Radio Center. Jim Gunther was in here on Monday, and you can see the on-air lights in two different locations. Now, we still have yet to wire them, so we can actually let people know when we're on the air and when special broadcasts are being put out. But that's being worked on, and the door is finally finished off.
Yeah.
And we're still trying to arrange the seating for the Singing Men of GNN. On Monday night, we arranged it. See how the couches are over here now, and moved that around a little bit, and still making some fine-tuning here, but we appreciate how God continues to use the Great News Radio Center for his purposes. Even the assembly on Monday and Tuesday, Dwayne coming out from Fisher and assembling, I don't know, 20 or 30 different Tootsie Pop boxes, our display boxes, and others have helped him do that, and some of the other things going on. Yesterday, Mark Jackson with the News Gazette in, who read his story as published on the front page of the News Gazette a few weeks ago, and a number of people have just been coming in. They continue to stop by and wonder, now, what is this? What's going on in here? Even on Monday night, as the singing men were singing, there was a number of people that kind of stop and look in. And next door, there's this gaming place. Well, when I say gaming, it's not like betting.
What does that mean?
Yeah, it's...
like checkers or...
Well, it's kind of interesting. It's like Gopher Mafia Games. Have you seen the sign in front?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, the mafia thing. It's like, oh. We used to have that big sign, if my people who are called by my name will pray, you know, big banner. But I'm not quite sure. I guess they provide games and activities for kids to help them get off the streets, if you will. But some of the gamers are 20 and 30-year-olds. And so I'm not quite sure. I got to find out a little more. I think it's supposed to be like a safe place for people or kids to gather and play games. And some of these games are these mind kind of games where they have to sit and think and process and work as a team. I'm not quite sure, but it's sponsored, I believe, by the Masons. And apparently the owner or the manager... There's something to have to do with the Masons have, like, motorcyclists that go out and raise funds. And I don't know how that all works, and I don't know much about the Masons. I have a few friends said they had relatives or family members involved in it, and they do some apparently good charitable work, and yet, depending on how involved in the Masons and some of the smaller towns, it was kind of like a club or activity people joined. But for others, especially as you get up into the hierarchy, there's some red flags into what they believe in some of those 32 levels. And
so they're in the Gopher Mafia gaming business. Is that what you're saying?
It's a little different. So I do see their hours are like 3 to midnight. And so the reason why we're talking about that is the unit next door, we used to have access to it, and there was a doorway between our wall and their wall. And the mall was very gracious and allowed us to have like a steal of a deal, a lease agreement, open-ended, where for a minimal amount, we utilized it for singing men rehearsals and the ping pong table was set up over there and other gatherings and our grand opening open house. It was great to lay out all the food there. And so we could have it as long as it wasn't rented. Well, now it's being rented by this group, and it's kind of interesting, but their hours are 3 to midnight. And so I have seen, you know, a dozen or so people in there, 8 at night or 4 in the afternoon. So
is that kind of how it works, that they allow you to use the space for a little bit and then it gets rented? Because I know that the guy came in yesterday and he said, hey, Mark, we're going to do the home show and we need to utilize the space where you have the ping pong table for a furniture guy to come in. So I keep thinking that every time you inhabit a space, it becomes highly rentable.
Well, that's part of what I'm thinking I'm going to talk to Jim is because, like, we cleaned it up. We steam cleaned the carpets, did some light painting, and cleaned it up, kind of got it set, and they rented it. And now that we're utilizing room 115B, which is a few down, we're starting to clean it up a little. Not too much. I'm not going to invest too much time in there. But if that rents, because they had somebody looking at it, I'm thinking I'm going to say, hey, Jim, you know, we've now utilized two of your units. Maybe you need to kind of give us a little stipend or a donation, you know, as we move to another unit. But, yeah, speaking of the home show, that's going to come up on April 8th and 9th, and the Singing Men of GNN will be presenting on that Saturday, April 8th, right here in the food court, WCIA Channel 3. Is overseeing the whole home garden and design expo. They're expecting between 4,000 and 5,000 people, but I hope a couple thousand Great News Radio listeners will come out on that Saturday, and along with, I think they have, I don't know, 40, 50, 80 different vendors or booths and things that'll be set up. And we're working on some unique things with our bay windows up in front. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see if we can feature and highlight a few things during that time and have our tote bags available and give away some of those Tootsie Roll banks and visit with some of our Great News Radio listeners. So that's happening on April 8th and 9th. But before then, actually a week or two away, on Sunday, March 26th, the Singing Men are going to be singing at the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, 110 Broadway in Lincoln, Illinois. Will begin at 6 p.m. Free concert, but there will be a love offering, and that'll be a full concert by the Singing Men of GNN on the west side of our listening area over into Lincoln, Illinois. So come out for that. And, hey, I don't know if you knew this. We were trying to figure out on yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends. Do you know the difference between, like, a columnist? A person that writes a column. How do you say that?
Columnist?
Yeah, or an author, or a journalist, or a reporter. We are confused on all the different aspects of who does what.
I think that a listener could probably help us out with this, but I think it has a lot to do with the style of the writing. So like a columnist, they'll write short little paragraphs that could even just be one sentence, where an author is writing a full-blown work, and they're working in a different kind of literary medium.
Yeah. So far, so good. The journalist versus the reporter.
The journalist versus the reporter. I don't know. I would say the reporter reports the news, but the journalist, I think, doesn't a journalist write to a specific audience?
Yeah, probably maybe a specific topic or area of interest. I'm not sure, but anyways, we figured out that Mark.
You just acted a minute ago like you knew exactly. You were like quizzing me. And then now you're like, well, I don't know.
I'm still learning.
No, what does this have anything to do with your core competency of running a Christian radio station?
Well, it's because our very own columnist, Marianne Alfenstein, who writes for that special paper, the senior paper, the Prime Life Times, like, she was interviewing the reporter yesterday, so we had some kind of fun with terms. And anyway, so yeah, it had nothing to do with.
So what is Marianne? Is she a columnist?
Yeah, because she writes human interest stories on an ongoing basis each month, and so she's been featuring different people. In fact, next month it'll be Marge Ketchum.
Could you be a columnist and a journalist and a reporter all at once?
I think so. And, and a cartoonist, that you could get that title, too. Okay, so
now that we're thoroughly confused.
Let's see. Conversational
people
English
are going to think that they have logged into or dialed into some other program.
No, here's what they're going to say. Somebody for the first time saying, this must be the temporary fill-in help. I wonder what the regulars are really like.
Yeah.
That happened years ago.
They never came back from Israel.
Yes. Oh, conversational English class, the last one, ends tomorrow. We're going to take a two-week hiatus or a two-week break, and we are going to have a little celebration tomorrow. I think 30 of us, some potluck and some fun foods, and I'd ask that our listeners be praying up, because when we start our next eight-week sessions, that's going to be probably that first week in April, we're going to need somebody to help out with the beginner class, and maybe another teacher or facilitator for the what we're calling the intermediates, those that can speak fairly fluent but need some fine-tuning or help or assistance. And so we've had Ruth Esri. She is a former principal and phenomenal, off the charts, very gifted, and she's led, for the most part, the beginners with exercises, just ABCs to coins, and she'll bring in all different food items and have them list it and play games. And then Abby, as you know, Abby Barrett from the Community Evangelical Free Church. She's kind of head up and overseeing things. Mm-hmm. Well, she will be kind of phasing out as she's getting prepared to go to Japan mm-hmm. and teach English. And so we're trying to figure out how the Lord would raise up some additional people to fill in and take on various roles. So Rosemary Painter, who's another mm-hmm. volunteer, but then she's phasing out. So we're going to have a transition of like three teachers needing a couple other people to come in and help. So if you have a heart for international students and maybe have a TESOL background teaching English as a second language mm-hmm. or have taught before or would desire to have some training to be a part of things in the days ahead, probably beginning that first week of April, let us know, contact us, and certainly tune in next Tuesday, and we'll have some specifics on somebody that's doing it now and how you can get involved.
Yeah, you don't have to be a columnist, an author, or a journalist to do it.
Or a reporter.
Or a reporter.
But you can report on how
but
God is using
it. But you can report, yeah. And you could journal about it, and you could write a column with a human interest bend.
And capture it all with a cartoon.
Yeah.
I was trying to think, that was part of your calling or your gift sets. Or
it's something I can do.
Yeah.
It's something I can do. It's a lesser gift, maybe. I don't know.
Well, another thing you can do is preach the Word of God, and it's a passion.
I've heard about that.
And I continue to get feedback from our recent trip or pilgrimage, I should say, from Israel, and people appreciated, loved, were encouraged by, challenged, couldn't actually get enough, even though you preached anywhere from one to three or four different devotional thoughts and messages throughout the many days in Israel. That's something that you continue to, are passionate about, love to do.
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the command is to preach the Word of God. It's to go into all nations and proclaim the gospel. And so, not only that, but the Word of God tells us that we're not to neglect the gathering together as some are in the habit of doing, encouraging one another all the more as we see the day dawning. And the greatest encouragement I can think is the Word. The Word is the greatest encouragement. I mean, the realization. I mean, every other thing that you could encourage with or by, I think at some point breaks down. It falls apart. You know, nothing can encourage like the Word of God, which comes in the strength of God, fueled by the Spirit of God. I mean, imagine, you know, you've got yourself, a believer, who gets amongst some other people, even if they're unbelievers, but you're guided by the Spirit of God, fueled by the Spirit of God, empowered by the Spirit of God to open up the Word that was inspired by the Spirit of God. And so, I mean, how much more encouragement does one need? You know, and so and it's interesting, you know, we went to Israel. It was kind of funny because I was reflecting on this. I've been doing a lot of journaling out of the Israel trip. And, you know, one of the, I was writing down a couple days ago all the different blessings from the trip. You know, and I wrote down, oh my gosh, you know, like 32 people were rededicated in the Jordan. What a great day. You know, and I thought, oh, you know, somebody gave their life back to Christ at the Garden Tomb at the communion service. Oh, what a great day. And, I mean, there was that moment where, you know, we were quoting that hymn, Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name, like the fragrance after the rain. And we were standing on the southern steps, and it had just rained. You know, and it was just like these kind of moments that were just huge. When I look back, I go, these were just such huge gifts and blessings. But, you know, when I reflected, really reflected, one of the things that oftentimes we go on these trips that we think is a negative, which is the jet lag piece of it. Mm-hmm. You know, where you get on the trip and you're there and you can't quite get to sleep. Your clock's just all messed up. You wake up at 2 in the morning. You wake up at 3 in the morning. And I had, over the course of time there, I think almost the whole time, I don't think I ever slept till you know, 6 or 7, never. I had great time abiding in the Lord. You know, great time going down in the hotel lobby with my Bible and just preparing for the day and just pondering and just reading Scripture and just, you know, at one point I think it was the first hotel we were at, I opened up to like Matthew 17 and just started going from Matthew 17 into 18 and into 19 and into 20, just journaling and writing. And I thought, why don't I do this when I'm at home? I mean, when I'm at home, don't get me wrong, I study and I pray and I do my best to read the Bible. I do my best to read things other than what I'm preaching. But I was like, why aren't I able to abide like this? And I really began to realize that one of the greatest blessings in the trip was the abiding, was my ability to get, like it says in John chapter 15, close to the vine and really begin to just nourish, be nourished by the Word of God. And while the baptisms were awesome, you know, and the rededication at the Garden Tomb was awesome, that's all just kind of like, that's evidence. Like, that's evidence that God is at work. But the real power, and I think that one of the things that can get us is the evidence becomes what we believe sustains us. So, like, we have baptisms on one day, and you're so excited, and then you need to get some more baptisms so you can keep being excited about God, or you need to get in the next Bible study so you can be excited about God, or you need to get to see the next thing that's happening so you can be excited about God. And I thought, you know what, the most exciting thing for me on the trip, there were so many things, and I don't want anybody to feel like I'm trying to diminish all the wonderful things that happened, but for me, one of the most exciting things was abiding, was just getting in His Word and going like, thank You, Lord. And then being able to have the absolute honor and gift to then share that with people. Because there were many, I brought some messages with me, and some that I never even used, because some of them came out of the abiding. The message that I preached on the Southern Steps came out of a morning that I spent just with the Lord, just asking Him what it is that He wanted me to say on those steps. Not what I had thought about when I was still home in Muhammad, but what did He want me to say? And so I just started to say, you know what, Lord, where have I been too excited by the evidence and have not abided enough? And that's really become, it's kind of interesting, because I came home and, you know, my wife is like, you know, what's your one big takeaway? You know, she's always like the one big takeaway. Mm-hmm. And so I just said, gosh, I just felt like I was for the first time in a while able to abide. And she goes, that's what I've been thinking about all week.
Wow.
And so we had a moment like where we were laying down and we were talking about the trip, and she's just like we're both weeping, like about both of ours just desire to get near the Lord and to get there together. It was like we wanted to hold hands and run into the presence of the Lord, like grab a hold of the vine and just be nourished by what the Lord wanted to offer us. And then in the same way, just confess how we have gotten so excited about things that were just evidence of the Lord at work. And I want to celebrate when the Lord's at work, and I want to give praise to His name. But I think the real power comes from abiding. And then out of that, I think is where you have, you know, I can tell you plenty of times where I preach a sermon or share a message, even in Israel, where I would say, oh gosh, you know, I left out of there feeling like, you know, maybe that was a little flat, or, you know, oh gosh, you know, Lord, did that hit the target or not? Then there were like moments, like it was funny, because I think after I shared on the Southern Steps, yeah. I mean, you were like pumped up.
I told you that was like not a home run. That was a grand slam.
But you were like pumped up, and you even came up to me, you said that. You're like, it's a grand slam. And there are definitely times where people will say something like it to me, and I'll go like, I don't know. I mean, you never know what the Lord's doing. But it was like in my heart I go, the Lord did that one.
Yeah.
Like He hit that. Like you say it's a grand slam. That's only because like I got tagged out and the Lord came up to bat and He was like, check it out. Watch the swing. Watch the swing. Pow. And He hit a homer. I mean, and the Lord did that. And it was just, you could see it on people's faces. You could see how they were kind of deeply touched. I could hear from feedback when they shared later. So it was one more piece that just affirmed for me, you need to abide. So what's really been kind of funny is, you know, I ran in, well, you today, you said it, and then I ran into somebody else, and they're like, you know, you're sleeping back on track? Are you like that? You know, I'm like, I'm back to sleeping good, but I am trying my darndest to get up at 5 a.m. every morning and just abide. And I don't, for some of you, maybe abiding is like 8 or 9 at night, and that's cool. That's really great. But I just know, like, I just have learned just from this season of being blessed like that, that I want to, like, go into the temple, like David says, you know, go into the temple of the Lord and just declare His excellencies. And for me, that's at 5 a.m.
But I know there's a cost because you are not an early riser. I mean, you would prefer 9 and 10 and 11 in the morning meetings, nothing before that. So
here's the cost, is the last 2 days we ran out of coffee. And I thought for sure, we ran out the first day, and I said, oh, we don't have any coffee, I'll make it through. I made it through. It was okay. But I thought, surely she'll buy more coffee. And day two, I got up at 5, and I go downstairs, and I'm like, open the cabinet, and there's no coffee. And I go, day two, Lord, I will still be faithful. You know. But, yeah, you know, but it's also been good, too, because I'm usually a later night person, and so now I'm going, it's kind of interesting, because I think Tasha doesn't even know what to do with it, because usually she would go to bed, and she'll say, well, are you going to come up? I'll go, soon after I read a little bit and do that. She'll, okay, and then she would be asleep. And now she's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to bed. She's like, oh, I'll be right up. Yeah. You know, because it's like we're almost lined up there. So I just feel like we're running to the Lord together, holding hands, we're abiding. And I just want to challenge maybe the person who's listening right now that to open your Bible, read John chapter 15, particularly the first 5 or so verses, and just be challenged by Jesus says that he calls us to be nourished by the vine. That the branches cannot produce fruit unless they're being nourished by the vine. And so I just want to challenge you to look at your life and say, where am I getting vine time? You know, and do I make vine time? Because we'll be excited by evidence. But what I really want you to be excited by is the thing that nobody can measure or quantify, and that's spending quality time, deep time with the Lord.
Abide. I'm thinking abide. That part of that, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, yeah. Ask whatever you wish and it'll be granted to you. Ooh, there's another message there.
Yeah, there's a whole nother.
Better not get you fired up. SR News won't be happy.
They're like, they're back.
Yeah. Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. And as Pastor Jason has just mentioned, abiding in the Lord, that's the key. Abiding in Him. What a blessing. What a privilege that we can do that. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.